Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I want to do a little running back comparison. And this is some of the backfields that might be open for debate, might be open for questions about who's going to be the starter, what type of roles we're going to have, all of that. I think there's some interesting stats we can pull from. Right. And so we've heard things, for example, Jamal Williams is an A back. How does he compare against DeAndre Swift? Some of the metrics. So four metrics I'm going to use: PFF rushing grade, yards after contact per attempt. That's rushing yards after contact per attempt, yards per route run as a receiver, and elusiveness rating. So sort of walk through each of these. Elusiveness, it basically measures how elusive you are, which is essentially your ability. It blends in missed tackles versus and yards after contact. So those are the measures that we're going to look at. And so I'm going to go, some through these. I've got the Patriots, Tampa, Arizona, Detroit, Buffalo, the Rams, Baltimore, and Miami. So those are the ones we'll be highlighting here. And we'll go through each one of them individually. So the Patriots is interesting because I had some connotations about this. There's some predetermined biases about this, and it was a little eye-opening. So Damian Harris, pretty significant lead in PFF grade. He ranked third in PFF grade in 2020, 25th for Sony Michel, and there's 63 qualifiers. So all these stats, they use the 63 qualifiers, which are, I believe it was running backs that had, I think it was about 100 plus or so targets. It's a percentage basis, basically, that they use of, I think, the max rushes or something like that. So there were 63 qualifiers under the running back portion. So about two a team. So Harris right up at the top, third, Michelle 25th. Yards after contact per attempt, 3.41 for Sony Michel, 3.3 for Damian Harris, 8th for Sony Michel, 22nd for Damian Harris. Yards per route run, 2.38 for Sony Michel, 1.13 for Damian Harris. That is first among running backs, Sony Michel. The caveat, 48 routes run. Damian Harris, 30th, so right about the median there, 46 route run. So not a big volume there in terms of routes being run by either guy. I think it's notable, the interior grinder stuff with Sony Michel. He might actually be good at it. Elusiveness rating, 51.5 for Sony Michel, 44.7 for Damian Harris. 29th for Sony Michel, 38th for Damian Harris. One of the things that I've talked about and I've read in some of the some of the Patriots beat writers, they've talked about how Sony Michel could be a cut candidate. Heck, if he's going to be a cut candidate, he could be dangerous to somebody else. I know that there's some connotations and predeterminations that he's no good. The numbers are better than you might expect. So I don't necessarily think they scream bust. They actually scream, hey, he was injured and kind of needs an opportunity, and whether that's in New England or someplace else. I wonder how big the receiving volume could get, but that's an interesting profile last year particularly. I still think Harris is probably the more likely guy to be the starter, but I'm not ruling out the fact that Michel could be in this backfield and make it more cloudy than maybe we anticipated. All right, Tampa's an interesting one because we've got we've got Ronald Jones and Fournette, and then we got Gio coming in from a different system. So sort of keep that in mind with some of these stats. Gio smashes as a rusher, 6th in PFF grade and 3rd in yards after contact per attempt, 3.65. So that's a pretty robust number. Really struggles in the receiving stuff, 0.87 yards per route run. He ran 190 routes, 44th in terms of yards per route run. 20th in terms of elusiveness rating, 59.7. How does that compare against Fournette? Well, Fournette, 53rd in the PFF grade, 2.71 yards after contact per attempt, so almost an entire yard fewer than Ronald Jones. Just think about it. That's a pretty crazy stat. He's 38th in terms of yards after contact per attempt, 32nd in yards per route run, so 1.08. So again, right at your median there. Elusiveness rating, 47th at 36.7. So as a runner, I think Jones is a better runner. As a receiver, he basically, you know, Fournette's essentially at median. So look at this, like, and you'll see this in a second. For a lot of reasons, Fournette gives me some concerns because he can get bleeded out by both sides, right? He can get cut from the right side, from the rushing side from Ronald Jones, and he can get cut from the passing side by Geo, and all of a sudden he's sort of boxed in. Whereas last year you could say, hey, listen, he can kind of do both more than Ronald Jones can. He still can probably do both. He's probably the most complete guy in terms of the ability to do both at this point in their career, but it is it's questionable, and he doesn't really stick out in terms of the metrics. So Geo is 54th in terms of PFF grade. Again, remember, this was with Cincinnati, so there's a little bit of not the same necessarily as the scale, and I know that they say it's independent and all that stuff. Like, I do think that, like, there's tends to be a little bit of correlation in terms of how some of these guys perform. So just sort of keep that stuff in mind. 57th in terms of yards after contact per attempt, 2.35. 18th in terms of yards per route run. That's kind of what we bill him as being the guy doing, 1.29. So that's pretty good, right? 276 routes. And then elusive, again, 53rd. So way down there at the bottom. So if you think of him, bottom echelon rusher, you know, reliable pass catcher, I think, and that's kind of where he's fit narrative-wise in his career. So I think that how that blends out will be pretty interesting in terms of snap share and all that stuff too. It's worth noting, Fournette, 216 routes last year, 190 for Ronald Jones, 276 for Geo. So we'll sort of see how that blends out. Again, different teams, but we'll be interested to see how that shapes out, a little bit more than a little bit more for Fournette than Ronald Jones, and he did more with it in the routes run. We'll see how that all blends out this year. Okay, Arizona is an interesting one, and it's interesting because Connor is there coming in from Pittsburgh. So again, same question or concern, and you'll see that with a couple more of these teams too, changing schemes. So sort of keep that in mind. James Connor, 40th in terms of PFF grade in 2020. Chase Edmonds, 54th. Yards after contact per attempt, James Conner, 2.87 yards after contact per attempt. That's 33rd. 2.64 for Chase Edmonds. That is 42nd. In terms of yards per route run, 0.80 for James Conner. 1.32 for Chase Edmonds. 47th for Conner. 15th for Chase Edmonds. So Chase Edmonds really making his money there in the passing game. 269 routes run for James Conner, 305 for Chase Edmonds. If I were to sort of take a, hey, let's balance this a little bit, I don't think that Arizona had the same quality of supporting cast as Pittsburgh did. So maybe there's a situation there where, yeah, James Conner's a little bit, you know, if he's running routes, his odds of being targeted per route are probably lower because of the quality of the offense than maybe Chase Edmonds is. I'm sure Chase Edmonds is probably a superior pass catcher too, but it might not necessarily be a fair, but it might not be that big a part, right? So if it's, you know, if he's, but, 50% higher, for example, he's a little bit more than that. Maybe half of that percentage, half the gap is talent, maybe half of that situation, something like that. Elusiveness rating, this was interesting. James Conner, 23rd in terms of elusiveness, and Chase Edmonds, 47th. So I think when you look at Conner as a runner, better kind of across the metrics, and Chase Edmonds is a better receiving back. I was surprised that Football Guys had James Conner projected so high in terms of his rushing attempts this year. I think it's pretty notable. So he's one I'm definitely keeping my eye on. I think he could have, he's in like a sneaky committee plus type situation. So I think he's got some sneaky upside here coming in into 2020. All right. So Detroit, this is an interesting one because this one surprised me a little bit. Rushing grade for DeAndre Swift, 69.4. That's 46th in the league. Jamal Williams, 78th. That's 20th. Yards after contact per attempt, 2.41 for DeAndre Swift. That is 58th. 2.66 for Jamal Williams. That is 41st. When you sort of look at the elusiveness stuff, it becomes much more of Swift, 42.2 elusiveness. He's 40th in terms of that. So again, still not great. 54th for Jamal Williams, 33.7. Where the big difference is, and it's not even that big of a difference in terms of where they rank at the position. 1.58 yards per route run for Swift. That is 7th. And that is on 226 routes in 2020. Jamal Williams, 1.17. So that's 26th on 201 routes run. So as a runner, Swift failed to distinguish himself. He really distinguished himself as a receiver. I kind of wonder if that's where some of the A-back stuff is coming from. So just sort of keep that in mind, that I think a lot of what we saw from Swift last year was positive touchdown variance, and we need him to be a big-time volume receiving back and continue to grow as a runner. But it gives me a little bit of pause with some of his rushing metrics about how big his workload could be. So I think there's, as I sort of continue to see this Swift stuff, I think there is a little bit more smoke sort of billowing up in terms of a little bit more concern. Is there fire there? Like, Swift should be the starter. He's probably better than Jamal Williams. But I think there's enough questions where you're saying, you're sort of giving it like a side-eye squint. You know, what's he doing with that guy type of squint? It's kind of how you're looking at the situation. All right, Buffalo, Zach Moss, 75.9 in terms of PFF grade. That's 27th. Devin Singletary, 72.7. That's 39th. So Moss with the advantage there. Yards after contact per attempt, Moss, 2.9. That's 31st. Devin Singletary, 3.17, 15th. Yards per route run, I think both of them are just going to get run ragged in this stat because it's just not what Josh Allen does as a passer. He does a lot of things well. Throwing two running backs is not one of them, or it's not a priority, I should say. Zach Moss, 0.55 yards per route run, 57th, 173 routes. Devin Singletary, 0.85, that's 46th, 318 routes. So ran a ton of routes. I was up there amongst the leaders of the position. Just not a lot to write home about in terms of what he did with it. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe there's some growth. Like, the interesting thing with Singletary is you're like, hey, if there's growth, like, in a couple of key spots, like, he could be a lot better. I just, like, it's gonna take a lot for him to break his way, I think, for those things to work out. Elusiveness, 26th for Zach Moss, 12th for Devin Singletary. So both of them pretty good. And I'll say one thing that was interesting, and it popped up in some PFF pre-draft coverage. And I was listening to them, and they said, look, Buffalo's basically made a priority of going after guys that have a high force missed tackle rate in college. That Singletary and Zach Moss were the two guys in the past couple years that have led the class in terms of the stat. Matt Breida is another one that forces a lot of missed tackles. So that's just to keep an eye on. Again, if you're sort of looking, you know, thinking about writing a piece of like, hey, who's this year's James Robinson? Like, way off the radar, like third, fourth guy in the depth chart at this point. Like, who could be the guy? Like, Breida is not an unreasonable guess in that. Just because I think the other two guys, like, they kind of have a type, and they just kind of keep going back to it. I think Breida fits the mold a little bit, and it's maybe a better version of Singletary, honestly. So we'll see there. The Rams, this is another interesting one. Darrell Henderson smokes Cam Akers in terms of the rushing grade. They otherwise perform basically the same. So rushing grade for Darrell Henderson, 79.2, that's 16th. Cam Akers, 69.5, that's 45th. Again, 63 qualifiers. Yards after contact per attempt, 2.84 for Akers, 2.7 for Henderson. So a little bit of an edge there for Akers. Yards per route run, 1.15 for Akers. That's 28th. Henderson 1.08, that is 32nd. 107 routes for Akers, 147 for Henderson. So Henderson got bigger volume there. I think that's notable to some degree. We'll see, you know, as this thing transitions a little bit, how much that spread gets, but I think that's something to keep an eye on. 37th in terms of elusiveness for Cam Akers, 36th for Darrell Henderson. I'll say this too. I think it's interesting when you sort of look at their alignment of rushes and rush types. So you got gap and you got zone schemes. Akers was basically a 50-50 gap to zone guy. And when you looked at Henderson's rushes, 92 were in zone, 45 of them were in gap. So I wonder if there isn't something there with Akers saying, I think there's a couple of things you could explain that. Hey, he's a better fit for this, or their offense maybe evolved a little bit more and they've wanted to do a little bit more gap as well as some of the zone rushing that they've become known for, that they wanted to incorporate some of that because it fits their offensive line. It's interesting from a schematic perspective that Akers is a little bit more balanced. So I don't know what that really says other than just to keep an eye on if they're going to lean scheme heavy, something like that early in the season. That might be something we take a look and a peek see at first couple games, like, hey, they're really going balanced, or, you know, they're really, you know, they've got sort of a bias or whatever towards one or the other. That might tell us a little bit about what we can expect if there's, you know, some time split here that we don't necessarily expect. But I think Darrell Henderson, probably a buy, or definitely a strong hold given what his performance is to date so far. He's probably undervalued. All right, Baltimore. And this is we'll do an ode to Gus Edwards here. PFF grade, 86.5 for Gus Edwards, fourth in the league. Dobbins, not bad either, 81.6, 11th in the league. So both pretty good. Yards after contact per attempt, 3.28 for Gus Edwards, 11th in the league. 3.47 for J.K. Dobbins, 7th in the league. So very good. Here's the rub, and this is the concern that I've had with Dobbins. This one's alarming to me. Yards per route run, 1.24 for Gus Edwards. That's 19th in the league. He ran 104 routes. Dobbins doubled him up, 217, more than doubled him up in terms of routes. 0.55 yards per route run. That's 57th in the league. That is a concern. That is absolutely a concern. And I think the dichotomy between the two, is it variance? Is it they just weren't using Dobbins right? I don't know, but that is something that has popped up. And I keep looking at this, again, I'm sort of giving myself the side eye, like, what's this all about type situation. That's something we definitely need to watch for with the Dobbins workload in the passing game, because got plenty of opportunity over Edwards, but did less than half of what Edwards did on a per opportunity basis. Again, I don't know specifically why that is, but it's something we definitely need to watch for. And then elusiveness ratings, 33rd for Gus Edwards, 49.3 is his elusiveness rating. J.K. Dobbins comes in at 10th, 70.8. So again, yards after contact, elusive, rushing grade pretty good. What's the passing role? That's a concern to me. So I think the other key to this is that Gus Edwards probably comes out more than just a grinder in this. So in terms of like an interior runner, the big plotting guy, exactly true. So I think that's an interesting observation there in terms of one of the better 1-2 tandems in the league. All right, lastly, Miami Dolphins, Myles Gaskin, 70.5, Malcolm Brown, 67.3 in terms of their PFF grade, 42nd for Gaskin, 49th for Brown. So again, sort of middling. 2.54 yards after contact per attempt for Gaskin, that's 47th. 2.18 for Malcolm Brown, that is 62nd. When you go out a little bit further, Gaskin really differentiates himself in the passing game. 1.87 yards per route run, that's third in the league on 208 routes. So that ain't nothing, right? That's actually a pretty good, that's more than Jamal Williams had last year. You know, that's to give you an idea, like Fournette had 216. Gio had 276. So, you know, you're sort of looking up there in the upper tiers of these guys. Like Edmonds had 305, for example. You know, Jamal Williams, 201. So just sort of in relative terms of where these guys were. Gaskin, you know, about the same amount of routes as J.K. Dobbins, for example. I think that's pretty notable there. 1.87, that's a smash. That's a huge number in terms of him being third in the league on a fairly decent amount of work. So I think that's a notable thing to look at. That's a really good stat for a kind of an analytics moving forward franchise. Like that's a pretty good, that's one where you can actually make a big time difference in a running back. So I think that's a notable one. He can definitely make a difference as a pass catcher. 49.9 elusiveness for Myles Gaskin. When you look at the difference between Malcolm Brown and Gaskin as receivers, so Malcolm Brown 0.59 in terms of yards per route run, that's 56th in the league. 276 routes last year, just a huge number of routes, and wasn't very good. So you sort of look at and you juxtapose that against the Akers and Henderson numbers, like he was basically half of those guys and basically did, you know, almost, you know, approaching 2.5-3 times the work that Akers did, you know, well more than almost double what Henderson did in terms of routes. Like those, if you sort of look at the Rams offense in the context of like, hey, we're going to just eliminate the suck in terms of the Malcolm Brown pass game stuff. We're just going to create such a much more dynamic threat, like, you know, twice the efficiency there in the receiving game, and whatever Stafford can offer us in terms of like, you know, unlocking certain portions. Like there's a lot there to just naturally go up. I think the subtraction of some of the things and the addition of Stafford together creates a pretty interesting thing. And then elusiveness rating, 32nd for Gaskin. I think I mentioned that before. 52nd for Malcolm Brown. So I do think that it wouldn't be totally unreasonable to suggest that Malcolm Brown's a starting running back this year. I think Myles Gaskin absolutely deserves the opportunity to get that job. So he's a smash in terms of his receiving stuff, you know, whether they use him, new coaching staff, new offensive staff, you know, different play caller in terms of calling the shots in terms of the offensive design. So we'll see how that all works out. But I think Myles Gaskin's one where you can say like, hey, like this guy's probably pretty good at catching passes as a running back. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. I guess big takeaways here. Not a ton of difference between Edwards and Dobbins. Again, the receiving questions out of Dobbins. Henderson's probably a buy. You know, Zach Moss maybe a buy. Some confusion there out of Swift and Jamal Williams. Again, I think Jamal Williams is a pretty interesting hold guy. And again, one of the things that's always amazing to me, and I should note that the reason why I did this was actually Vegas. So it's before I cut this podcast, it's worth noting that I did this with Vegas, and this is the reason for this show. So Josh Jacobs, 17th in PFF grade for qualifying running backs. Drake, 50th. Jacobs, 35th in yards after contact. Drake, 53rd. Jacobs, 36th in yards per route run. Here's the best one. 57th for Drake. Jacobs, 23rd in elusiveness rating. Drake, 58th. I'm not sure what that tells us about, you know, what conclusions we should draw from that, because I don't know what teams are looking at with a lot of this stuff, but man, like Jacobs is the better running back, or was last year anyways. Again, the scheme stuff there is different, right? There's a big difference there. And I'd be interested to sort of see how that all breaks out. You know, I think that, for example, Drake is a threat to Jacobs' role. How long does that go on for if he's going to continuously underperform Jacobs? I don't know if that'll hold, but I think it's an interesting when you sort of look at that. Oh, you know, Drake's just a better running back than Jacobs. Like, there's not much proof to that. So that's, I think, a notable one. So, you know, and then that was actually the rationale for this actual research. So plenty there to look at. Again, I think maybe Michelle potentially underrated would be one of them as well. So again, I just don't know what the total upside is there. But if we're going to make the argument that Damian Harris has upside with Mac Jones, like, we should probably make the same argument for Michelle. So, and if Michelle's going to be a discount, like, let's do that. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.